Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
While Major Scheer and his SS battalion were licking their wounds at the entrance of Rajek Pass, Kozats and three German SS troopers were making their way south, then west onto higher ground. The going was rough, but the German Sergeant Fritsch had chosen his men well. They climbed steep slopes littered by boulders of all sizes, crossed the tops of hills, moving ever higher. Sometimes Kozat would flash a torch at the ground, and there would be a slight shift of direction. They had heard far-off sounds of battle echoing across the stony hills. Fritsch shrugged it off, presuming his SS comrades were making the escaped prisoners of war wish they were back in their cages. Soon they were high enough to see the sun begin to rise over the tops of the distant eastern hills.
Do we have to climb much higher?
No. About half a kilometer we come to some of the old grazing lands. There will be slopes, but nothing like the hills we climbed at night.
There's the pass you're following. Your Scheer said we would find paths up here.
Paths? These are not real paths. Perhaps 50 years ago a man could see them clearly, but people have not lived up here for a long time. See this? It is overgrown, but look.
I can't see anything.
No, but it is there. I pulled the grass to one side, and now do you see it?
A stone.
A large stone. And see how it has been worn, eh? It was once a place where a man sat to watch the flocks of sheep. See here? This groove is where they sharpened their knives.
Yes, I believe you.
And 3 kilometers on, we will come to some cottages where these shepherds live.
Well, who cares?
We can rest there for a while, eat, and make something to drink.
We are not stopping for rests, Kozat. The commandant has forbidden it. We can rest on the way back after we have blown up the passage and the Britishers are safely trapped in Rajek Pass.
At first light, I was awakened from a deep sleep of exhaustion. Violetta had been up before me and collected 2 plates of food from the field kitchen. After eating, Violetta checked our equipment while I reported to Major Ramsden.
My advice, if you need it, is to travel light and fast.
We're taking 3 days' emergency rations and our weapons, nothing else.
Well, I wish you every success, Sale, and I'll pray that your young lady's childhood memories are accurate. Everything depends on them.
Violetta is well aware of that, sir. Do you want me to report to Colonel Horden before I leave?
No, I don't think that would be advisable. I think he's still sleeping.
Is he sick?
No, I told his orderly to let him sleep until just before we move off. He had a late night.
Well, I don't remember much of last night. Did something happen?
Oh, there was something of a tussle when the Germans tried to get into the pass last night.
See.
Captain Sanders sent a message back that they gave up after a while. The colonel sent Dmitri and his Russians to give a hand.
And the colonel stayed up to hear the results?
Well, no, not exactly. He had a bit of a run-in with Lady Agnes, it seems, just as he was going to bed. He's terrified of her, you know.
Yes. She's still complaining about the milk rations?
No, it was rather chilly last night, and she demanded more blankets for the children.
They're a hard commodity to find.
Well, she took his, and then she went along to our supply sergeant and confiscated his blankets as well. She said that they could do with old coats and canvases. It was a real to-do.
I'm sorry I missed it. Well, I'd better be on my way.
Well, good luck, Sale. Make absolutely sure you found the right path before you come back.
Right, sir.
From what I can gather from Captain Saunders' report, I think that Major Shear will be coming hard on our tail. We can't afford to make mistakes at this stage of the game, eh?
I'll make doubly sure, sir.
Regards to your lady friend.
That's fiancé, sir.
Oh? Congratulations. Good show, Sale. Yeah, she's a pretty girl.
Here it is, daylight, and still no Germans.
You sound a little disappointed, Dimitri. The less I see of Germans, the happier I feel. And if you'd seen that last attack, you'd feel the same way.
I want to take my men down the pass to see what is happening.
Huh? Now, look, I wouldn't advise that.
Yeah, let him go, sir. I was going to suggest some of my men go.
I just want to see the place where you fought. There'll be weapons and ammunition lying there with the dead.
Yeah.
Just what I was thinking. When my lads came in from up the slopes, they said a lot of the dead and the dying have been left down below.
Yeah, well, heaven knows how many men they lost. I reckon it must have been a hell of a lot.
Well, enough to make them think.
Oh, yeah. And hopping mad.
They can get as mad as they like, but it won't get them past this position without losing a few hundred more men.
Yeah, which brings me to another thought. How many did we lose?
Seven and two wounded. Private Peter shot himself in the foot when he was trying to reload. Oh, like I told him. Like I told him, it's more haste than less speed.
But only seven dead, Ryan? I mean, that's miraculous.
Well, it would have been less if it wasn't for them bloody flamethrowers.
What? They use flamethrowers?
Yeah, that's right. While you're scouting round, will you see if you can bring a couple back? Some of the men using them got shot. Maybe they was left behind.
Yeah. I have been looking for a flamethrower since we escaped from the camp. Corporal Barangi is an expert with one.
We'll find at least two, one for you and one for me.
If I see any live Germans down the pass, I send a messenger back to tell you.
He's a lively one, isn't it, sir?
Yeah, I guess. He's a good man to have on our side.
I'm going to get some of the lads to roll boulders down here and stack them up around the tank. It'd make a pretty good barricade.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to take a look at the tank's machine guns. Maybe I can repair some of the damage that I did yesterday.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be easy.
I know, that's right, yes. Like to say, we Irish are better at smashing things than making them. Anyway, Gary Watson's pretty good at mechanics, though. Maybe he'll find a way to make them work again. Oh, and the stacks of ammo for them. So it'd come in handy when Jerry pokes his nose up the pass like he did last night.
When did he leave, Ramsden?
About half an hour ago.
You briefed him properly?
Of course, sir.
About the radio we pinched from that Yugoslav spy?
Oh, no, it's no good.
You mean those silly blighters broke it when they brought it back?
Oh, no, it's working.
Well, what then? We can call up Allied Intelligence and tell them what...
No, that's impossible, sir. Not while we're down here in the pass.
Why not? I mean...
Well, the mountains, they cut off our ability to send and receive. It's quite hopeless.
Oh, damn it all, Ramsden. We go to all that effort for nothing. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no, when we move on to the higher ground at the end of the pass, we should be able to communicate then.
Well, that could be days.
Well, I know, but there's very little Allied intelligence can do for us in the pass anyway, sir. Perhaps drop a few supplies, but we can manage with what we've got for the time being. Oh, that reminds me, sir. Captain Saunders sent for more ammunition.
Ah. Rather send him a message to fall back closer to the column.
Well, he says that he has a very strong position where he is now, sir.
But the distance between him and us will increase daily. I'd feel better if he moved back. And why more ammunition?
Well, it was a hell of a battle they fought last night, sir. 3.5 hours, according to Saunders' report. He estimates that the Germans lost at least 300 men.
Oh, does he? I say, splendid work. I had no idea. 300, eh? That will make that ruddy Major Shear wish he hadn't cut the truce short. What?
Yes, sir.
Well, the day's starting well, Major. I think you can send a message down to Captain Saunders, and he can hold the position until tomorrow morning. Then he can fall back 3 or 4 miles and establish a fresh one. I say 300 men, eh? Hey, Ramsden, by Jove, it was a grand idea I had in sending Sanders back to take charge.
If you'll excuse me, sir.
Why, what is it?
It's, Lady Agnes. She's coming over this way.
Oh, no, no. Tell her I'm too busy. Look, Ramsden, come here. Oh, damn.
Very slowly wended its way at less than half a kilometer an hour through the narrow pass, Dmitry Arkhanov and his men came on the scene of the previous night's fight. Among the many dead, they found several wounded. Remembering Major Ramsden's orders of a few days previously, Dmitry, with great difficulty, prevented his men from killing them off. Instead, they were placed between two large boulders and ignored. The Russians collected a huge quantity of automatic weapons and ammunition and began taking them back along the pass to the newly constructed barrier. To his delight, Dmitry found 3 undamaged flamethrowers. Shortly before noon, the operation was completed, and one of the men who was guarding the site reported to Dmitry that a German patrol was carefully moving up the pass towards them. Unable to establish their numbers without engaging them, Dmitry withdrew his force to the barricade.
I don't think there were many. Possibly a small patrol sent to find out where we are.
Well, they'll know if they wander this far.
I set the flamethrowers up between those rocks.
Wait, there. One is mine, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. And 2 are yours, Ryan.
What do you use yours for? Lighting cigarettes?
No. Lighting up Germans, my friend. Send them back to Berlin in a blaze of glory.
You're right. Anyway, we're ready for them. McKinley, signal the lads up the slopes to keep their eyes peeled. Jerry's on the way.
They don't learn easy, do they?
Well, it's the only way they can get at us, so they got no choice but to keep trying. Maybe they think we've pulled back away to keep close to the column.
Yeah, well, then they've got a surprise coming.
Unless they've found a way over the top.
No. If that Kozat fella knew a way over the top, they would have used it last night instead of wasting all those men.
I want to put some of my men up those slopes with yours. 8 of them are excellent snipers.
That you're welcome. Just get them to remember the signals, though. Daytime, this one blow and this whistle, and that means open fire. 2 blows means ceasefire, and at night, we don't shoot until we see a white flare.
Good. That's simple to remember. I will explain to them.
Well, sir, all we can do now is just sit around and wait for them.
Oh, give me flying a plane any day.
Hey, who's that? Don't be walking too far ahead.
Sorry, Sergeant. I thought you were close behind me.
I'm not used to climbing up and down rocks like this all day.
Weber! Lang! Come here!
Lang!
They are finding it more difficult than I do.
See over there? It is the remains of a cottage.
Yeah. Tell me, how far is the pass from here?
Over the way, about 3 kilometers.
And that was to stop me from bringing 200 men along to come down on the Engelanders from the other end of the pass.
You will have to ask your commandant that question. It is possible to do it, but we would not have moved so quickly. He was anxious for us to reach our objective as soon as possible.
Yeah. That is so.
But for the sake of your men, I think you should let them take a short rest. Just 10 minutes. Then they have no trouble keeping up with us.
Yeah, I suppose it might help. Officer,
We'll stop and rest for a while.
Violetta and I made good progress along the pass. The deeper we went, the more I realized what a desperately bleak and gloomy place it was. Although it had widened out to about 30 meters across, it took on the appearance of a deep ravine. The sides were now steep, naked rock, rearing steeply up on either side to a height which was impossible for me to estimate. We hoped to reach the end before darkness. Meanwhile, behind us, the column made its way in our footsteps at a painfully slow pace.
Well, what did you find?
Oh, it's quite impossible for them to move any faster, Colonel. You can see for yourself the difficulties.
At this speed, it will take us all day to make 3 blasted miles.
Well, at least we're safe from attack as long as Saunders can hold Shear.
Oh, I just want to get out of this pass. I never thought a place could be so depressing. And that woman, the very thought of her leaves me speechless.
Oh, her heart's in the right place, sir.
Last night I had a nightmare. And she was the principal character.
Oh, she takes the welfare of the women and children very seriously.
I wish she would stay with them and stop bothering me.
Oh, that's an impossibility for a woman like Lady Agnes.
How did you deal with her, Ramsden?
Well, when she shouted, I shouted back. We exchanged insult for insult. It was quite simple, really.
For you, perhaps. Do you know what I dreamt? I dreamt a message came from our intelligence chaps giving her command of the whole show. Can you imagine such a thing, Ramsden? She was wearing my uniform jacket and swishing everyone with a bloody riding crop. I didn't think it funny. I woke in a cold sweat. It was a horrifying experience.
If you don't mind my saying so, sir, it's best not to take her too seriously.
She has family connections at the War Office.
Look, as long as we get the column to the coast, I don't think we need worry about that. You'll see, when we reach Italy, she'll be ready to sing our praises.
Oh, I can't imagine that, Ramsden.
Oh, she's not all frost, sir. And as far as the women and kids are concerned, she's looked on as a saint.
Oh, Saint Agnes, perish the thought.
It will be dark soon. Hey, look what I found in my pack.
Huh? Booze?
You remember Kovacs, huh?
Yeah.
He gave me some bottles of peach brandy. This is the last survivor.
Yeah, but is it wise to drink, Dmitri? I mean...
You ask me, is it wise to drink? What a stupid question. The answer is yes.
But
didn't you know that in the old days, soldiers went into battle roaring drunk?
Maybe in Russia.
Everywhere, my friend.
Oh, that's just a story, yep. Dmitri.
Look at the British Navy, huh? Does it not issue rum to its men? Is that not true, Sergeant?
Yeah, that's right, it's true.
Good, so drink. Here.
Okay. Thanks.
Here, now you, Sergeant.
Strong stuff, huh?
No, that's not, thank you. It's not bad at all. Ugh. But I'd much prefer to pint a stout.
Soon it will be dark. Give it to me. Ha. It is dark here for most of the time, huh? When we have finished this bottle, I will send a relief to the men up on the slope.
Now, I'm ahead of you. Mine were relieved an hour ago while you were telling jokes to your men.
Yeah, and they must have been very funny. The Germans at the end of the pass must have heard the laughter.
You like to hear them, huh?
Well, maybe not now, Dmitri. Yeah.
Very well, then. Later. Then I will tell you about the time Adolf Hitler found Heinrich Himmler hiding in a cupboard wearing a yellow and pink party dress.
Come on, tell me now, tell me now.
Okay, Dmitri, you sold us on it. Go on, give us the rest.
All right. It was at Birch's Garden, and Himmler retired early from a party, huh? He went into the wrong bedroom.
Yeah, this is better. Grass and a few bushes.
This is where the mountain people grazed their sheep and goats.
They must have been tough to live up here, though.
Oh, yes, Sergeant. They were very hardy people. But it became too much for them. The young ones did not want to live here, and more went to live at the south end of the pass.
I see.
The last people to leave here were the Georgios family. That was about 15 years ago.
But you know the places so well.
I was recruited by the German military intelligence at the time Italy invaded Albania. My first assignment was to provide a contour map covering 100 square kilometers.
You drew a contour map?
No, I am a farmer. The man who recruited me came to Yugoslavia as a tourist. We spent 3 weeks in the mountains, and he made sketches and notes, and from these he made the map.
But you didn't tell him everything, yeah?
Everything I knew.
Our intelligence did not know there was a way out of the western end of Project Pass.
Herr Singler was told. Oh, yes. It must have been overlooked when he made his map. I even took him as far as the passage we are going to blow up.
Yeah, damn intelligence services. They're always making mistakes. What is that over there?
We are coming to the end of the grazing pastures. Now we will have to start climbing again.
Oh, I thought we were finished with climbing.
Just 100 meters. Then we will be walking downhill for the next 3 kilometers.
It's getting dark. I think we will take a short rest and eat.
Very wise decision, Sergeant.
Before darkness fell, Violetta and I finally reached the end of the pass. The bare rock face narrowed, and then it came to a point, completely barring the way. Violetta spent the next 30 minutes going to different points in the rock face, and then she called me over. A narrow cleft, partly filled by fallen debris, led upwards, stepped by jutting pieces of rock. By using the rock debris and the natural steps, we were able to begin climbing. It wasn't as difficult as I had expected, but it took what seemed an age before we came out onto a narrow plateau. It was now almost too dark to see. At the moment, as we emerged from the cleft, Cosette and the 3 German SS men were finishing a meal of bread and sausage, and they were no more than 3 miles away. Cosette sat close to Sergeant Fritsch, and for a very good reason.
Oh, it has been a hard day, Cosette.
Yeah.
I feel more like lying back here, sleeping until morning. But we have a job to do.
Are you ready, men?
Yeah.
Just one more thing, sir.
And what is that?
This!
Cosette made a quick grab at Fritsch's gun, but the sergeant's reflexes were too fast for him. The men struggled for a moment for possession of the weapon, but as Lang and Weber ran to help Fritsch, Cosette let go, and he ran for his life into the darkness.
We don't want them dead. Come on, we have to catch him before we lose him altogether.
Cosette ran a few hundred yards, circled round to the rocks they had intended to climb, and began the ascent. The 3 Germans used torches to search in the dark, presuming Cosette had run away in the direction from which they'd come. When he was no more than 30 feet up, Cosette's foot dislodged a rock, and it bounced down with a clatter.
He was over there, climbing the rocks! Quickly, after him!
Realizing his danger, Cosette increased his pace, and being a man of the mountains, he easily outpaced his pursuers. But even a mountain man cannot see in the dark. As he reached the top of the climb, he ran blindly forward, and his foot stubbed a rock, causing him to fall forward. His head glanced off the side of a rock, and he rolled over, unconscious. That was how Sergeant Fritsch and his men found Kozat some 10 minutes later.
Lang, tie his hands together.
Yeah, boy.
Then he recovers consciousness. Herr Kozat and I are going to have a talk. When I have finished, he will beg me to let him lead us to the passage. And when he has done so, we will let him go. With a bullet through the back of his skull.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting, and brought to you on Springbok Radio.